So this is what I'm going to be speaking on today. In actual fact, hopefully I'll get onto what the Lord's laid on my heart in a moment, but he's laid something else on my heart, which keeps coming up again and again, and that is that the rapture is going to happen on the 23rd or 24th of September next week. So it keeps being repeated. So if you go on YouTube or whatever, people say, oh, the rapture's going to happen. I've had a vision. God's spoken to me. It's Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets came up, so God must rapture his church on the Feast of Trumpets to be with him. You know, praise God for the Feast of Trumpets. It does speak in some way of our gathering to the Lord. It speaks of the body of Messiah being raptured to be with the Lord. It speaks of Israel being regathered to the land. It speaks of repentance, teshuva, in Hebrew. But the fact of the matter is, as far as I'm concerned, it's utter deception. That I had a quick look on my phone on the way up here, as you do. So I was looking at my phone. I've put in how many false prophecies have there been concerning a September rapture and concerning Rosh Hashanah, and it seems every single year there's a prophecy saying the Lord is going to come and rapture the church. He's told me in a dream, we're off, Feast of Trumpets, we're off in September. And I suppose some well-known names which have predicted when the rapture is going to happen have been people like Harold Camping, and I think he believed there's going to be a rapture maybe 2014 or whatever. You had a guy called Edgar Wise then, who I looked up, he was the author of 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Could Be in 1988, and he predicted the rapture would happen during Rosh Hashanah that year. So it's 1988, where we're still here. The late, you know, Hal Lindsey, who wrote The Late Great Planet Earth, he said that he would see the rapture before he died. Well, guess what? Last year, Hal Lindsey passed on to meet the Lord. You know, praise God for what he did do. He wrote The Late Great Planet Earth, a great book which impacted the body of Messiah. But be that as it may, he was wrong. The late Chuck Smith. Now, I'm sure Chuck Smith was the founder of Calvary Chapel, and he said the Lord's coming back 1981 because Israel in the land 1948, so therefore he must return. Chuck Smith was wrong. The list could go on and on. The whole point being is when these things happen, they bring discredit to the body of Messiah, they bring discredit to the prophecies of Scripture, and ultimately, you know, I believe this can damage people's faith. And so I'm not going to be preaching on this or speaking about this, but if we turn to Matthew chapter 24, Lord willing, this will go on the audio section of the Tree of Life Messianic Fellowship website at some point. And so I'm going to say the year, 2025, 23rd of September, people expecting a rapture. It didn't happen. So don't call me a prophet because I'm not a prophet, but it's just sanctified common sense in line of Scripture. So in Matthew chapter 24, we have the Lord's teach. So Matthew chapter 24. In actual fact, chapter 24 and 25 of Matthew's Gospel is the Olivet Discourse. This is the Lord's teaching concerning the end times. And so I'm going to pick it up from verse 32. And so I believe this is relevant for us right now, because I believe in line of Scripture we can discern the season we are in. We can discern how close we are to the Lord's return. But the one thing we cannot know is the day or the hour. And one of the biggest things that tells us the Lord's on his way is, in fact, the nation of Israel. They're back in the land. In verse 32 of Matthew chapter 24, Yeshua, the Messiah, said this. He said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. And the fig tree symbolizes, or is a metaphor for Israel in its national standing. So Israel returned to the land. You will never find the fig tree applied to Gentiles. It's always applied to Israel and the Jewish people as a nation, as a country, with their national privileges. It says, it's verse 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. What's near? The return of Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, near in God's terms could be today, it could be next year, it could be 100 years. Remember, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as a day in God's sight. He's not bound to time as we are, but nonetheless, the fact Israel is once more rooted in their land tells us the Messiah's coming is nearer than when we first believed. So it could happen in our lifetime. I don't know. So we can know the season. It carries on. Verse 34, verily or assuredly, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The words of the Lord shall not pass away. What he says is sure. It endures forever, from everlasting to everlasting. His word is eternal. And anyway, notice it says this generation shall not pass. What generation is that? Now, that's been taken in several ways. It could be the generation that saw the rebirth of the nation of Israel. It could be a reference to the nation which are alive during the events of the tribulation as they unfold. You know, I'm not going to get bogged down in that, but the whole point being, I lean towards the second understanding. That's a generation alive which sees a nation rising against nation, sees the abomination of desolation in the temple on the Temple Mount. So there is going to be a rebuilt temple. But be that as it may, we're told all these things will be fulfilled concerning that last generation. And then verse 36, which is relevant to those who are saying the rapture is going to happen on the 23rd or 24th of September 2025. This is a relevant point. Verse 36, but of that day, what day? The day of the return of the Lord. The second coming. Or the rapture, if you want to precede that. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, when the Lord returns, it's going to happen suddenly. But notice, you can know the season, but you cannot know the day nor the hour. And the whole problem is you've got people on YouTube, on social media, giving a specific day or 2 days to hedge their bets, I bet, and also the specific hour. It's going to happen on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. Well, that's a specific day. The Lord, I believe, is not coming on a specific day known to us. And so, okay, the Feast of Israel typify or point towards, typologically, God's salvation plans for the nations and for Israel. But it doesn't mean he's going to return at the Feast of Trumpets. He could return at any moment. We don't know, because we don't know the day nor the hour. The Feast of Trumpets is a specific day. How can we know? I'm not going to contradict what the Lord tells me. I don't think anyone should contradict what the Lord tells us in his word. And I don't care how many people have dreams. And you know, we should all have that. It doesn't matter whether people have prophecies or dreams or whatever. If they do not line up with the teachings of Scripture, as the Holy Spirit brings revelation concerning his word, then say that's a false prophecy. That's a false prophecy. So we need in these times to be aware of what Scripture tells us. The one thing we do know is it's going to be as the days of Noah. What happened in the days of Noah? Well, we're told, verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, so that's before the judgment of God fell. So before God's judgment fell on the nations in a cataclysmic worldwide flood, what does it tell us? Well, it tells us that people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. In other words, life continued as normal. So we're not talking about the tribulation period or the future wrath of the Lord or whatever, or God's future judgment on the nations, because life will not be carrying on as normal in those days. We know that from just reading from verse 15 onwards, particularly where you've got the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist sitting in the temple of God. And we know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he's going to declare himself to be God. He's not going to declare himself to be a God. He's going to declare himself to be the God of Israel, incarnate in the flesh. He is ultimately the Antichrist. He puts himself in place of Christ and he says, I am the Lord God of Israel. And in that day, what's going to happen? Well, we know that the Jewish people, by and large, are going to, are told by the Lord to flee, get out of there. Because that will be an affront to Judaism and to the Jewish people in the land at that time. That's what's going to happen. So we're not there yet. But notice, when the day of the Lord comes, when his judgment comes on the nations, before that happens, people will be marrying and giving in marriage. Life will be continuing as normal. It carries on. For as in the day, where am I? Verse 38, I'll read that again. It says, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, verse 39, and knew not, until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, when the Lord begins to come, when he returns, it's going to be suddenly. It's going to catch the whole world unawares. And you know, unless we're watching, it will catch us unawares as well. You know, are we aware of the signs? Are we aware of the season we are in? So we have the rise of Israel, a nation born in one day. When was Israel born as a nation? May the 14th, 1948. We can see the nations gathering against Israel right now. The United Nations has 195 members, the 195 nations in the world, 193 nations are members of the United Nations. There are two nations, or states which have observer status. The first one are the Palestinian people. They have observer status. That's 94 people groups or nations, if you will. And the other group that has observer status is the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican. So they're included. So that equals 95 nations in all. So what does that mean? With all those nations are passing resolutions condemning Israel, saying, contrary to international law, by the way, because under international law, I was reading an article in the Daily Telegraph, Israel has not committed genocide. They haven't met the the legal requirements for that. That's just fact. And yet the United Nations, contradicting international law, is saying Israel is guilty of committing genocide. Even though it's been shown again and again, there's false reporting going on out there, fake news going on, if ever there was. So I'm sure we're aware of the newspapers where there's been images of so-called children suffering from malnutrition. And then it turns out later, they've got cerebral palsy or some genetic disorder. In actual fact, Israel's allowed them to go to Italy to get treatment and things like that. I'm sure we're aware of that. It's happened several times. So it's not happened once, several times in our media. And each time, the mainstream media refuses to issue an apology. I've not seen one. You may have seen one. I've not seen one. But why is this happening? Because there is antagonism against the Jewish people and against Israel. Why? Because Israel, even though in a state of unbelief, is still the apple of God's eye. The land belongs to God. And God has given it in perpetuity to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob according to the flesh. And that's the God we worship today. The God of Israel through the Messiah of Israel. And so often you get these people who set dates. You can't set dates. It goes against the clear teaching of Scripture. And so if you have people coming up to you saying, the rapture is going to happen next week, don't believe them. Take heed to the Word of God. Now we're living in what are called perilous, dangerous times. And I believe these are the most perilous, dangerous times the body of Messiah has ever been in. Since her inception. And it's amazing the amount of denominations where deception has crept in. And that deception revolves around several things, the person of the Messiah, who he is, but also around prophecies of Scripture concerning the Lord's people according to the flesh, who are Israelites, Jewish people, and that land. There aren't many fellowships that preach the whole counsel of God's word. There aren't many fellowships, I would bet my bottom dollar, and I'm not a betting man, believe you me, but if I was, I would bet my bottom dollar that fellowships like this, and there are other fellowships as well, which preach the whole counsel of God's word, are a minority in this nation. A remnant within the wider body of the Messiah, if you will. You know, so we are living in exciting times. Now, and don't take my word for it. Go to the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. So, you know, look at if what I'm sharing is in line with Scripture. And, you know, sound out the warning. Now, that's what we're called to do. Who are we? Watchmen. You know, you might not think of yourself as a watchman, but if God has revealed something to you in his word, as the Holy Spirit has moved upon you, then ultimately we have a duty where the Lord opens doors to share what the Lord shows us. Might not be appreciated. People might not treat you very well for doing that, but that's not the issue. The issue is we are ambassadors for the Messiah of Israel. And if you're a Gentile or a Jewish person, you've been grafted onto the olive tree through the Messiah. If you're Jewish in Israel, you've been regrafted onto what was originally yours anyway, in a sense. And if you're a Gentile, while contrary to nature, then you've been, through the grace of the Lord, grafted onto those promises as well. Those promises in Messiah. And I said, praise God. So I thought I'd say that just briefly. And so, like I said, that's not my sermon, by the way. I might not actually get to my sermon. Praise the Lord. So praise God for that. Hallelujah. So what I'll do is I'm going to continue in Matthew for a little bit. Because I'm keeping an eye on the time. It says this. So where did I get up to? Verse 39. Verse 40. We're told this. And bearing in mind that its judgment comes suddenly. And not only that, not only does it come suddenly, life is continuing as normal before it comes, before the return of the Lord, and before the events unfolded in Matthew chapter 24, particularly from verse 15, unfold. Be that as it may, it continues. It says, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, that's verse 40, and the other left. Verse 41, two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. So notice, this is during a state where life is carrying on as normal. Now this is something which happens unexpectedly. We're not talking about the tribulation period or the period of wrath. We're talking about life carrying on as normal. As I said earlier, life will not be carrying on as normal when God's judgment falls on the nations. It carries on. And this is something that we're all enjoined to do as the body of Messiah. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. So why are we watching? We don't know when he's coming. We know he's on his way. We just don't know when. We can know the season, but the day we're out, we don't know when. We can't know. And he's not going to come at Rosh Hashanah or the Feast of Trumpets. Now, just think of this. The Messiah died at Calvary as the Passover lamb. So he fulfills those prophecies. And so that coincides with the 14th of Nisan, roughly. And so it was around about that time, during his first coming. He rose again the third day, the Feast of First Fruits, and the Count of the Omer, or the countdown to Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost as it's called in Acts 2, happens. Now that occurs on the 50th day. When did the Lord ascend? 10 days before the Feast of Weeks. Did the Lord ascend during or on a feast day? No. That's the simple, you can search the scripture. He did not ascend to the Father's right hand at the Feast of Weeks, or at the Feast of First Fruits, or at the Feast of Tabernacles. He didn't do that. When did he ascend? 10 days before the Feast of Weeks. Shavuot. There's no connection to any feast whatsoever, apart from the Count of Yom, I suppose. So what does that tell us? Well, if the Lord's ascension happened 10 days before the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, it means that the rapture or the snatching away of the body of Messiah to be with the Lord doesn't have to coincide with any particular feast whatsoever. He can come back 10 days before the Feast of Trumpets. He could come back a month before the Feast of Trumpets. That has no relevancy whatsoever. The typology has relevancy. The symbolism of the trumpet has relevancy, yes. But the one thing we learn is that the Lord could return at any moment. So we're to be watching. It carries on. Verse 43 of Matthew chapter 24. And he says, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Again, we don't know when he's coming. We don't know when he's coming. If we turn over to Mark's Gospel and chapter 13, Mark's Gospel chapter 13 is the parallel account to read alongside Matthew chapters 24, particularly into 25. The other account is in Luke chapter 21. But in Mark chapter 13, we're told this. And again, I'll pick up from verse 28. As I said, this is a parallel to Matthew's account. In verse 28, it says this. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Who does the fig tree symbolize? Israel in the land. The national privileges of the Jewish people in the land. Israel coming back to the land, if you will, and that nation once more beginning to put forth her branches. It carries on verse 38. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you, in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is near, even at doors. What's near? What Matthew said, the coming of the Lord. It carries on. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass away till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, nor not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. So again, we're enjoined to take heed, to watch, to pray. And then it carries on verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man to his work and commanded the porters to watch. So notice, the Son of Man, Yeshua, the Messiah, is likening himself to the master of a house who goes on a long journey. Now, the Lord's been on a very long journey right now. It's been about 2,000 years, more or less. But notice, he gave responsibility to his servants. He gave them authority. You know, he's given us responsibility. Not to scaremonger, not to predict and give false prophecies, but he's given us authority to do what? To carry out the commission. What is the commission? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and I'm with you to the end of the age. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 onwards. That's what we're to be doing. Doing that, and what else? Watching. And then it carries on, verse 35. It says, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at evening, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning. In other words, he could come late in the evening, he could come early in the morning, he could come around about afternoon time or whatever. The whole point being is, we don't know. We can't know. If we trust God's word, if we believe what Yeshua said as opposed to what people are saying today. You know, every single year I can guarantee there'll be a prophecy of some kind. The Lord's returning, you know, on this day or that day. There's nothing new under the sun. But all we can do is watch and pray. And I'm going to finish. So like I said, I wasn't going to speak on this, but I'm going to finish on Luke chapter 21. So Luke chapter 21. You know, this is why we're to be watching. So I've been probably a bit quicker than I was, but it's probably all the drama at the beginning with leaking a leaking ceiling or whatever. And it tells us this. So Luke chapter 21. And I'm going to pick it up from verse 29 yet again. And so again, this is a parallel account to Mark chapter 13. It's a parallel account to Matthew chapter 24 particularly. And so I'm going to pick it up from verse 29. Again, it speaks about the fig tree. It says, it's verse 29, and he, that is the Messiah, Yeshua, spake to them a parable. And so he's speaking to his disciples, and we are disciples today. And this is what he says, behold the fig tree. The fig tree being a picture of Israel's national privileges and so on. But then notice what it says. It says, and all the trees. So if the fig tree symbolises or is a picture of Israel, or the nation of Israel, Israel back in the land, what do the other trees represent? Where it stands to reason, other nations. So notice it says all the trees. What do we have happening now amongst all the nations? Well, we have wars, rumours of wars and so on. We have a famine and so on going forth, but we also have a move towards centralised banking digital currencies. There's a move towards trying to introduce ID cards in this nation. We know under Keir Starmer, who's the present Premier of Parliament in the United Kingdom. We see a coming together of the nation, the United Nations, but we've also seen the World Health Organization trying to get nations to surrender powers if there's another pandemic. All of those things are to do with the other trees, the nations. What else do we see happening with the other trees, the other nations? I mentioned it at the beginning, I think, about how the nations are turning against Israel. Now, Zechariah chapter 12 tells us Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling to all nations. That's what's happening now. So we've not just got Israel in the land. We're seeing the other trees, I suppose, represented by the United Nations, also doing things as well in relation to the fig tree, if you will. So we are in interesting times, particularly in regard to prophecy. And it carries on. When they, plural, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now near at hand. Now summer is on its way in the form of the Son of Man, the one who has healing in his wings. It carries on. So likewise, ye, and notice he's addressing disciples. So he's addressing, yes, the original disciples 2,000 years ago, but he's addressing you and I now. So how much truer, how much heavier are these words for us today? So it carries on. So likewise, you, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is near at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And verse 34 continues, take heed to yourselves. So we take heed to ourselves And, you know, yourselves is plural. So we're to take heed to ourselves, personally, but to look out for one another as the body of Messiah in these times. So take heed to yourselves, plural, lest at any time your hearts, plural, be overcharged with surfeiting, overcharged with the noxiousness or itself in, or indulgence of the world, indulgence and greed concerning material things, concerning food and so on. Good old English word, surfeiting, or whatever. Most people, what do I say that about? But it's to do with overindulgence, basically. And then it talks about drunkenness. Drunkenness is to do with intoxication. How many people are intoxicated today? And sadly, particularly in some fellowships, in some denominations, in some churches, they're so intoxicated, they're ignoring the clear teaching of Scripture when we need it more than ever right now. It carries on. And the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. What day? The day of the return of the Lord. And it carries on. For as a snare, as a trap, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So something is coming, it's going to ensnare the whole world. It's going to be like a bird trap, if you will. It's going to take the whole, all the nations of this entire globe. And we can see that building up. Like I said, when we had the COVID situation a few years back, all the lockdowns, that was worldwide. And we can see fear today that we've got trouble with China and Taiwan and China and Japan. We've got trouble, obviously, ongoing with the Ukraine and Russia, which is, you know, which is in, beginning to impact upon NATO. Because I'm sure we're aware that Russia sent, was it a drone or a plane or whatever, over Poland. And Poland is a NATO nation, as far as I understand it, or a member of NATO, as far as I understand it. And then you've got what's going on with Israel and Hamas. And don't forget the Houthis. They're still there. Don't forget Hezbollah. They're still there. It's all going on. So there's a lot of fear about what's coming upon the earth. You've got tensions between India and Pakistan. That's not been in the news recently, but I would have thought that's still ongoing. So the whole world is preparing for what's going to happen. And again, there's talk about, I mentioned it a moment ago, centralised banking, digital currencies, social credit systems and so on. Interesting times. You know, trying to encourage people to get a digital wallet on their phone. So all your documentation is on your phone. So it's nice and ease of access. But where's it headed to? Now, where are we headed to as a world, let alone as just a nation? Anyway, as a snare shall it come on you. What judgment of God upon the nations? And it will come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36, again, this is to you and I. And the Lord says, watch you therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Are you praying? Are you watching? Are you looking at the signs of the times? Or are you chasing after the fantasies of, sadly, some Christians who say the rapture is going to happen this particular day or that particular day? Now, if they say he's over here, over there, what are you to do? Don't believe him. When he comes, his coming will be sudden and quick. And you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to land right there. So I didn't get to speak on what I wanted to speak on. But praise, I'm going to finish in prayer right there. And thank you for listening. Hallelujah. And we praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your kindness towards us, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you give us ears to hear what you are saying in these times we are in, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you give us eyes to see what you are actually doing in the historical reality, our present reality, Lord God. That, Lord God, so often people are searching for a sign here or a sign there, even today, Lord God. But the fact of the matter is, if we look at what's happening across the whole globe in light of the scriptures, then we've got signs unlike any other point of history since your first coming, Lord God, really, Lord. And so I pray that you give us discernment, give us understanding. May your spirit lead each of us here, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you would use us to be witnesses to those around us, Lord God, whether Jewish or Gentile, use us to share the good news that Messiah came to the world 2,000 years ago, and the sin question was dealt with at Calvary. You rose again the third day, you ascended on high, and we're given that precious promise in Scripture that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Messiah and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. For with the heart a man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Lord. And Lord, salvation is so simple, so help us to be ambassadors of heaven, sharing the good news of God, that Messiah came into the world to save sinners. And Lord, it's not a popular message today, Lord God. No one wants to be told they're a sinner. Nobody wants to be told their problems, Lord God, in regards to their relationship with you, Lord God. But nonetheless, To get the good news, there has to be a declaration of the bad news, Lord God. The bad news is that we're destined to a lost eternity. The good news is that salvation is in Messiah and Messiah alone. So Lord, may you take the veil of Jewish eyes that they may behold their Messiah. And I pray that you would, Lord God, take the veil of Gentile eyes, Lord God, that they would also see the Jewish Messiah. And I pray, Lord God, that also you would take the veil of the church, Lord God, that the church would have the eyes to see what's clearly declared in the plain, straightforward reading and teaching of Scripture, Lord. So, Lord, may you move amongst us and may you be glorified in all we do. In your name I pray, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.